Welcome to Holistic Accountant Podcast, where we aim to showcase how adopting a holistic approach in accounting and tax maximizes value for clients. Beyond traditional tasks like preparing financial statements and tax returns, a holistic accountant focuses on offering advice that maximizes personal wealth on an after-tax basis. If you enjoy this episode, please consider leaving a rating and sharing it with those who might also benefit. And to ensure you stay updated, subscribe to our weekly email. The link is in the show notes. Okay, so today, Mina and I would like to talk about one of our favourite topics, land tax, a tax that we all look forward to paying at the beginning of each year to the state governments around Australia that just spend money so wisely. And of course, when people get their bill, they're naturally thinking, you know, is there anything I can do to mitigate or reduce or minimise the taxes? You should be thinking about of all taxes, of course. And so that's what Mina and I wanted to talk about today. So before we get into it, though, let's talk about what is land tax. Land tax is levied on your land holdings as at 31 December each year, excluding any land associated with your main residence. So it's really holiday houses, investment properties, second homes, those sorts of things. It's based on the land value, so the unimproved value. So you'll see that value on council rates notice. So the valuer general determines that valuation each year. And it's levied based on land holdings, as I said, at 31 December. And the tax amount is struck that really applies for the next calendar year. So what will happen is I'll look at 31 December holdings. In around February, you'll receive your bill, and that bill is for the 2024 year, so the calendar year that we're currently in. And again, it'll happen again next year. So Mina, what can we do to minimise land tax?
Common question we get asked is whether you should change the ownership structure of the property. So for example, property might be held in dual names or in one person's name. They got multiple other properties in their name, whereas their partner might not have it. So should they change their ownership structure or should they put it into a trust? More often than not, that is cost prohibitive. You obviously incur stamp duty, you incur capital gains tax. It will largely outweigh any land tax relief that you'll obtain. Sometimes forward planning on these things are important. So for example, if it's a property that's a principal place of residence in Victoria, you can tend to transfer properties between spouses if it's your principal place of residence, stamp duty free. Now, if you know that you're going to be converting your principal place of residence to an investment property, for example, you might want to consider whose name it should be in to help you minimise that land tax bill.
And of course, land tax is only one of many taxes we're going to pay. If it's an investment property, we're going to pay income tax on the rental income. If we sell it one day, we're going to pay capital gains tax, and then obviously land tax. So we don't want to be too centric around land tax, but it is a very insidious tax in that it really creeps up on you, and by the time it's a problem, there's nothing you can really do about it, which I know sounds like terrible news, but I guess it's a word of warning to people that are investing in property is when they first purchase a property, often they might not pay any land tax, or if they're paying any land tax, it's very small, and so it's not on their radar, but they keep that property for 10 years, and if it's an investment grade property with a strong land value component, well, unfortunately, that means they'll pay a little bit of land tax down the track, and as Mina said, it's cost prohibitive then to change the ownership structure at that point. So speaking with your holistic accountant that can take a long-term view on these things and balance up all the taxes associated with it will help you, you know, avoid any regrets down the track. The other thing to be aware of is most states charge a higher rate of land tax for property in a trust, not a unit trust, but a discretionary trust. And so one thing to think about there is using multiple trusts, and having one property in each of those trusts can help minimize land tax, but it really does depend on the value of each of those individual land holdings. But trying to avoid perhaps putting property in trust for land tax reasons isn't a bad idea. And also, you know, if it's got negative gearing, it's trapped inside a trust unless you can distribute other taxable income in there. That's also a consideration as well. And grouping. So if you have a lot of entities that really have common ownership and control, states can consider grouping those as well in terms of land holdings and then giving rise to more land tax. So, Mina, what can people do at the outset to minimise land tax?
Unfortunately, there's not much you can do, Stuart, but there's two really key points that we sort of look at when clients are investing or purchasing property. The first thing is forward planning, like I mentioned, so converting principal place of residences to investment properties, what you can do in terms of ownership structure there. And the second thing is investing interstate. Now, obviously, because land taxes are state-based taxes, spreading your investment portfolio between states will limit the amount amount of land tax you'll have to pay in any given state.
And finally, just to sort of wrap it up, if you are paying a lot of land tax, then you really need to make sure you're being rewarded in terms of investment returns for meeting that liability and expense. So, for example, if I owned a property and my land tax bill's $20,000, but on average, that property has risen in value by $200,000 a year, well, whilst I'm going to regret donating $20,000 to the state government each year, you know, I'm still well ahead. Conversely, if you're paying $20,000 for an asset that's providing you no capital growth or very limited capital growth, it's a problem from a maintenance perspective, its rental income is pretty low. Well, again, you've got to then start thinking about, is it worthwhile to continue to hold that asset? Now, divesting of assets isn't a costless exercise. You're going to pay selling fees, you might have to do some work to the property, you're going to crystallize capital gains tax. So there's some decisions associated with that, some important decisions to make. But equally, you know, land tax isn't going to go away. Land values just trend higher each year, so the liability will continue to escalate. So it's really important that you make sure, okay, that's fine, that's the tax I'm paying. What's the other side of the equation in terms of the returns, and do those returns justify the higher tax? And, you know, as I said, that tax will continue to increase each year. So there's a bit of land tax. If you've got any questions, certainly speak to your holistic accountant about, you know, analysing your land tax liabilities, and then also helping you make better decisions for any future investments as well. That's it from us for this week. Until next week, bye for now.